show, and the big man himself is not here this week, unfortunately. So once again, I've had to step into the breach or hop into the podcasting chair and take the reins. Now, hopefully we'll have a better experience than we did have last time, and Virgin Media won't screw us all. Fortunately, I'm not alone once again, as always. And I am joined by a fantastic panel, starting off with James Space Hopper runner-up Hart.
It was embarrassing. That was bad. It was bad. I lost to Dr. Sexy, and frankly, all right, so he's a man of medicine, and he's probably going to be in the peak of physical condition, as every GP we know is. But it was humiliating to have lost to him. Although, to be honest with you, there was carnage behind me. I saw Wheatley go for one, and it was a real mess. If you weren't there, you missed some awesome space opera action.
See, it wasn't fair. My space balls didn't work. They just hung beneath me, flaccid, and didn't do anything.
We have some very embarrassing footage of you, Madden.
Next up, we also have... Is he okay? You okay? Yeah, right, sorry. We have Jeff. I'll have a bourbon or six gamut. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, and I'm not having issues with my space balls. So I'm feeling, like, really good right now. Yeah, well, the day is young.
That's true. And rounding out our panel, we have Kelly, this one time at App Camp. Gumont, how are you doing, miss?
I wondered what nickname you were going to give me. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How was App Camp?
App Camp was amazing, and we're still taking donations until the 15th. So if you have the opportunity and haven't donated yet or want to donate more, we're still looking. We want to hit $100,000 so that we can expand even more quickly than we had planned to initially, and this will just make all of those plans happen a lot faster. So,
excellent stuff. I think I saw you on the news report, actually, on some webpage I looked at. You were standing in the background talking to a table of girls. I could tell from the hair it was you.
Yeah, we did get local coverage. There was a news station here that came and checked it out, and it was pretty fun. We actually had a great time. I'm super excited. That was our beta camp so that we could figure out how long things were going to take and what parts we needed to spend more time on. And we managed all of that. And then so now we have a really good handle on what our official plan is going to be going forward. And we're doing that camp 1.0, our release camp, that will launch in August.
Okay. Good stuff, good stuff. Are you coming to UK, do you reckon, at any point? Expanding overseas?
We want to. We are thinking big. We want to do any place that'll have us, basically. So, yeah, I would love to do App Camp UK.
Well, one place you might not be able to go is Florida, because they've accidentally, seemingly, banned all computers and smartphones. Florida may have accidentally outlawed all computers and, let's just say, smartphones after passing a badly worded bill that banned slot machines and internet cafes that allowed online gambling, such as bingo. What else are you going to play in Florida? And slot time games. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's because the American legal system works really well. New bills can get passed. There was a, which reminds me very, just very quickly off topic, Beth was telling me that, you know, there's this whole, this woman stood up and filibustered in Texas for 13 hours. Mm-hmm. And she did a fantastic, there was one state in America where they've been trying to get the anti-abortion bill in through stealth by adding it to the end of other bills and seeing if anybody notices. And every time someone's gone, hang on a minute, this isn't, you know, it's a bill about traffic control in metropolitan areas. And at the end it goes, and we want to cancel the abortion. Hang on a minute, what's that bit about abortion doing in there? And that's probably what happened here, isn't it? Somebody just sort of, I don't like computers. Stick the bit about computers in, see if anybody notices.
Actually, that's not what happened. No. What happened was that there was this huge... I don't want to get the details wrong, so if somebody else has them, please jump in. But there was a racketeering investigation. Like 60 people were arrested. It had something to do with either the governor's office or maybe the lieutenant governor's office. And so they went, oh my God, we have to pass a bill to make sure that crap like this doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did. And then the way that they worded the law is that it's like, I think what it says is something along the lines of a piece of technology.
It actually said a bill defines,
will allow you.
The bill defines illegal slot machines as any system or network of devices that may be used in a game of chance.
I've got a dice app.
See? So you'd be in trouble. Don't ever go to Florida.
Well, just don't ever go to Florida.
I can't. I mean, don't ever go to Florida anyway, but yeah, here you go.
But there's good Disney there.
There's good Disney. But they can't count from a few years ago. And now, right. And now this. You won't be able to take your iPhone. I'm running out of breath then. That was weird.
Well, to be fair, they can't have computers to help them count. So
good point.
They're fighting an uphill battle.
Someone with a clicker. That's what to do with all the pensioners, isn't it?
Thing is, how do they go do their bingo? Oh, anyway. Still, so something else will get... Well, it won't get banned. Have you seen the new sushi high-speed rail system in Japan? No. Apparently, there's a chain of sushi bars that installed a fast rail to deliver their food. Powered by Android tablets, the customer picks their food. Then after about a minute, the food sips along one of the three tracks. And then once you've finished it, you press a little button and it whizzes away again. Now, I think this is a brilliant idea. I think our curry and beer houses should have these.
Stupendous.
Yes. If you can just order your curry on the screen and it appears in front of you, then fantastic. They also need a fourth rail, however, to whisk me off to the lavatory when I've had too many beers and bring me back again.
No, you know, in pubs they need hoses, don't they? You just you get your Android smartphone.
What sort of pubs do you go to?
And you just get this hose pipe, and you just squirt. You know, you press the button. It's like a petrol station. You get the hose off the side of the desk at the table, and you type in 3 pints of lager, and you fill your pints up. Obviously, you don't want to order more than you've got drinking.
Why would you waste it putting it into the glass when you could just put it straight?
You could just. That's a really good point. You know what? Let's just take this to its logical conclusion, where you sit down at the bar and you say, Guinness, cold, and the little transporter sound goes, and it appears in front of you.
That would be cool. I would like that. Well, not Guinness, maybe, but lager. I'm a lager lout.
It's only Guinness if you're hungry.
That's true. What else? What else? Samsung have released a phone concept, and I don't think anyone's going to say they're copying Apple this time. This thing has two wings on the side that fold outwards, and they use something called photonic crystals that reflect changing colors as they compress and expand again.
So, it's a light bright.
A light bright. Okay, yeah. Oh, that took the wind out of my sails on that one then.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's also got a strange little disposable patch sensor on it, which you can put onto your skin, and it will take your health readings, and then you can just send it off to the doctor, and then the doctor will send you one of those worry messages like, we'd like you to come in immediately, please.
I mean, this is the whole same technology.
No, that's the NSA.
That's true, yes. They already know, exactly. They're already in contact with your doctor.
That's true. They know everything.
I mean, this is just one step ahead of the Japanese toilets that analyse your poo, isn't it? Except you don't want them being over-flexible, really.
Are they in the sushi bars?
The more I think about it, the less I want to go to Japan now. It's all a little bit frightening for my sort of Luddite tastes.
Oh, you're a man of the world, James. Come on. You told me that at the bash.
Well, what happens at the bash stays at the bash, Carl. You know that.
Unless someone puts it on YouTube. Right. Anyway, on to different stories.
Some more frightening stories.
Yeah, very frightening. This is a breaking story as we record this. Apparently, Guardian's latest piece related to Edward Snowden has come out, and it reveals how Microsoft has handed NSA access to encrypted messages, apparently for some time. There's some bullet points in the story itself, and I'm just going to read them out, and then we can all, comment and cry to ourselves, I suppose. Microsoft had helped the NSA to circumvent its encryption to address concerns that the agency would be unable to intercept web chats on new Outlook.com portal. The agency already had pre-encryption stage access to email on Outlook.com. That includes Hotmail. The company worked with FBI this year to allow the NSA easier access via Prism to its cloud storage service, SkyDrive, which now has more than 250 million users worldwide. So only a few there. Here's the interesting one. Skype, which was bought by Microsoft in October in 2011, worked with intelligence agencies last year to allow Prism to collect video of conversations as well as audio. Isn't that fantastic?
This brings back to a question I asked a couple of weeks ago. Where the hell are they storing all these tedious videos of people going, well, my daughter at her first solids today. She's 3 months old. Look, here you go. Come on, eat it. Can we eat it? Obviously with an American accent. Uh-huh. But
oh, that's not even the worst of it. It's all going to be, hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, if you consider the 20 minutes it took us, nearly to half an hour it took us to set up this Skype conversation. And the NSA's got a copy of that.
Not only that, but everyone. So everyone who I've listened to, virtually everyone's show in the last 2 weeks have had Skype issues, which is probably why, because the NSA is listening into them all.
But they've got to wait for someone to press record play.
Just make them Cylon until we can hit record.
That could be it. That's white Cylons. I can imagine they've got millions and millions of conversations of people going, you still there? You still there? You still there?
Yeah. I think all this stuff's getting stored in Utah because the government built a secret facility there that's designed...
Not so secret.
I was going to say
not so secret. Yeah, so it's designed to be able to intercept internet communication and store data. So I think that's where it all sits.
There's a new storage term for it, if I'm not mistaken. It was yodabytes.
What?
That sounds very familiar.
Yodabytes.
Like legendary gigabyte, terabyte, petabyte, exabyte, yodabyte, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
that, I think is the
store your data? We will.
Yottabyte, wow. Yes, I think so, yeah. Yottabyte and zettabyte.
Yeah.
But God, I just did a Yoda accent for the whole world. What was I thinking?
And NSA knows it.
You're waiting for the NSA to judge you.
Unfortunately, the chat room isn't going to be able to hear that, so I shall just tell them you did it, and they're going to get very excited.
Okay. They
No, I mean, so this is Microsoft. For some reason today, Guardian has released, probably because Microsoft released their restructuring organization, which we'll get to in a minute today. But do you reckon we're going to hear similar stories from the other major tech players out there? Because there were loads of them were named on that slide, which was leaked the other week. So do you reckon we have some more bombshells coming?
I wonder if Microsoft was the easy one. Well, NSA went to them and go, show us your stuff. And they go, well, it's pretty much unencrypted anyway. Help yourself.
Well, no, like today. They were in the headlines today for other reasons, but now they're in the headlines for a whole different set of reasons.
Right. The problem to me with all of this is that I don't – first of all, I would like to think I don't think this is true, but I would like to think that when the government came a-knocking – that Microsoft or anyone else who ends up being named in any of this, but I would like to think that whoever it was, you know, they went, well, why? Or what do you need it for? Or do you have proof? Or, you know, any sort of anything. Now,
it
the stuff
straight,
that came out...
Yeah, if, as long as it went straight to about, the legal department.
Right, the stuff that came out about Microsoft and how, like, they did... This looks pretty damning to them, I think, because it says, like, on Outlook.com, they couldn't access chats, and it sort of sounds like the NSA couldn't access chat on Outlook.com, and so Microsoft fixed that so they could.
They recoded it.
Yeah, that seems like a bad thing to get out. So what I wish is that in real life that Microsoft would say no or give us a better reason than because we're the government, because in the last 12 years – that's become a really common thing. The government comes a-knocking and you just roll over and go, okay, whatever you need, whatever you need. And I don't want that to be the case. And it wasn't the case before and it shouldn't be the case now. It doesn't mean that the NSA doesn't have the right to listen to somebody if they have a reason. I never thought that was
the case.
That's what
warrants are for.
Right. You need a reason, and that's why you have to have a warrant, and that's kind of a good thing. And, you know, checks and balances and all that crap we built our nation on 200 years ago. Like, I wish that stuff mattered more than it does now, because now apparently it doesn't matter at all. And I really wish that, like, if there were a warrant, if I were doing something that were illegal or could be perceived as illegal and the NSA is now keeping an eye on my email, I get that. But I'm not. And so for them to be keeping an eye on me anyway, like, I find that really not okay. I feel like there's got to be something in the Constitution that should make it so that that's not – that does make it so that that's not the case. And, you know, maybe
if only we had wording in the if only we had wording in the Constitution to protect our right to privacy and unreasonable search and seizure.
Sure, yeah.
But here's the thing, okay, you have those things, and obviously Kelly's very worried and Jeff's very worried, but it seems to me that the majority of your country folk don't care at all. They say, oh, yes, the guys are doing it to protect me, protect us, protect the homeland.
No, that's not what they're saying. This is the problem with America today. The problem with America today is that nobody is saying that. Nobody's saying, well, at least they're doing it to protect us. What they're saying is, I'm out. Oh, Survivor's on.
Except, well, okay, that's distraction,
that's
yes.
The fact is, America hasn't got big enough squares to have proper protests in. That's what you need, a square to have a protest.
No, Portland
We have seen it demonstrated several times in the last couple of years.
That's true. Portland loves a good protest, and we've done our share, but it doesn't, it's not going to change anything if I go stand in the street and hold a sign. There needs to be voting. There needs to be letters to congressmen. Like, I have in my phone, here's one of the miracles of technology, people. I can have a contact in my phone named Congress, and under that contact, I have every representative that I have in Washington, and all I have to do is push one little button, and then it calls Senator Merkley. And I say, Senator Merkley, here's the deal. You should do this. Or there's this bill, and I don't agree with it. Like, you have to do more than just vote for someone and send them off to Washington and hope they do what you want to do. They're not your psychic friend. You have to tell them.
But Kelly,
and if you, they...
sorry. But Kelly, people do tell them. They change their little Twitter icons. I've seen it.
Okay,
you're telling me that
brings
up
a huge problem we have in the United States, and it's called slacktivism.
Ooh.
And what that means is that people will do things like change their Twitter avatar, or they'll put a sticker on their car. And
I changed my Facebook sign, my Facebook picture, to a red equal sign. So that means that we can have marriage equality everywhere, right?
And everyone at home just missed the most awesome I Dream of Jeannie move I have ever seen. Wow, that was great. So, yeah, people will do something like put a sticker on their car, change an online avatar, and feel like they're taking action when, in fact, they are not. And that's a big thing here in the United States. People do that, and they feel like they're part of whatever it is. And they're not.
Mm. But he does.
Why do they do it? Do they just to make themselves feel better? Right.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's totally self-serving.
Because there's nothing else to it. It doesn't make anything any better. Like, my congressman doesn't go log on to Facebook and go, gosh, everyone in Oregon has a red equal sign as their user picture. Maybe I should go change a law. Like, that's not how it works, people. Did no one see Schoolhouse Rock?
No, most people did not.
And the representatives in Florida haven't got used to that technology anyway. They've got no access to
it. Yeah, they can't change their Facebook pictures anymore because their phones are illegal.
It's disgraceful. It does seem to
be a really good point.
When we covered the story a few weeks ago about Verizon having to hand over all their data and stuff, I remember asking Jeff if he thought, if this information had gone to the American press, how they would have handled it. And you said, like, they'd openly put it out there. But it seems to me, every time I hear the American press at the moment, they're not talking about this information getting out there. They're talking about the fact, is that Snowden guy a traitor or not? Not concentrating on what he's saying.
And let me tell you what, if you find and replace, just this is the same sort of thing that happens with Apple all the time. If you take an article about Apple that is link bait, and you take that article and you take Apple out and you replace it with Dell, Microsoft, Samsung, Acer, whoever. If you find some other tech company, if they're talking about computers, mm-hmm. replace it with HP. HP. If they're talking about software, replace it with Microsoft. Whatever it is, if you replace the word Apple with something else, do you still have a story? Most of the time, the answer is no. And this is the same problem with Snowden. If you took US out of all of those stories and he was from Canada or Japan or North Korea or South Korea, pick a Korea. He could be from any Korea. He could be from China
West
or
Korea.
Russia. You know, Northeastern Korea. Korea on ice. Wherever
Kyrgyzstan. Nobody's even heard of Kyrgyzstan.
Yes, he could be from Luxembourg. And you know what? We would treat him like a national hero mm-hmm. for having done to his country what he's doing to us right now. We would take political asylum and we would put a big bow on it and we would put it in a fruit basket and we would send it to that airport in Russia. And he would have been welcomed here like a hero. But because he's doing it to us, oh, no, 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 no. This is the same problem I had when people were talking about what is torture. Because the bar should be very, very simple. If somebody does it to an American, would you call it torture? And if the answer is yes, then you can't do it to anybody else. I really don't want to have to do this on the big show, but I'm sorry. I got my soapbox out and I've had two cups of tea this morning and I'm kind of amped about it.
Tea. So you should be in a UK tea.
I know. It's Sencha tea that I got from my good friend Alexander, who sent it to me from Germany. And it's awesome. It's full of like guarana and
And anger.
And anger, yes.
No, not anger.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear more of this story over the next few days once it's analyzed and delved into, and there'll be deniers and advocates and all kinds of hell will come out of this. But also, Microsoft wanted to be in the spotlight today for a different reason, because they've announced their reorganization. There's no real reorganization at the top. Steve Ballmer is still staying, but he's set out his memo for his vision of the future as a company. And it seems to be a lot more streamlined. Some divisions are being merged into...
How can you call it streamlined when it took him almost 3,000 words to tell his employees the what they're company. Doing?
For Microsoft, that's streamlined, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. And Ballmer's still there. I can streamline it for you. What Ballmer could have done is sent out a memo that said, guys, let's be Apple.
But he can't do that, can he?
No, he can't, because Samsung's already sitting in that seat.
Well, that's
now, this is not the Apple show. We can't do the Mac show.
I'm
sorry.
Not doing anything
We got through the big one. So who
I
thinks?
I really want this to be interesting, but all I keep seeing is that it's Steve is still running things. Steve is the guy who, like, I assume that because he's at the top, he's at least aware of what the rest of the company is doing. I like to think so. This is another one of those things that Kelly likes to think is the truth. I like to think that he knew what they were going to announce with the Xbox. And with the Xbox None, which is now the Xbox 180.
Right.
I really like to think that he knew that they were going to obliterate, you know, the disk drive in that, so that you couldn't play games off a disk anymore, and that he knew that it was going to phone home every day. And I like to think that he knew about the Microsoft Kin. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
No, you don't, because they sold it for like 20 minutes 3 years ago.
True.
And I like to think he knew about the Surface, and I like to think that he was at least in some way involved, and that if he had stopped and looked at any of those things, he could have gone, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, my kids love Viva Pinata. I can't give them a new Xbox if they can't play Viva Pinata.
Are you suggesting that Steve Ballmer is Microsoft's problem?
Yes. I'm suggesting that if he had any idea of this stuff was happening. He is, because he didn't think – it never occurred to him to take the iPhone seriously. It never occurred to him to take the iPad seriously. And look where they are in both of those markets. Oh, that's right.
Stop
no place.
Quoting Apple. Okay, look, he's also getting
other
rid.
Other companies have done other stuff better than they have. Look at Sony. I'll use Sony as an example, because Sony announced the PlayStation 4 after they announced – after Microsoft announced the Xbox One. And – everybody's declaring that PlayStation has won the war, because PlayStation put something out that will actually let you do stuff with your stuff, and it doesn't make you phone home, and it doesn't listen to your heartbeat in the living room.
Well,
these are important things.
They did.
Now that we know that Microsoft is handing over all that data, what do you think that Kinect is going to do when it sees you in the living room not wearing any pants?
Well, exactly. But we don't want to focus on that. But I see. It seems to me that Ballmer seems to be getting rid of anyone that can present him with a future challenge. For example, Don Matrick, the guy who ran the Xbox, he's left and gone to Zynga. Before that, it was Stephen Sanosky, who was in charge of Windows 8, and he seemed to have taken the brunt. I mean, he was pretty. Everyone says that he wasn't a very nice man to work with and stuff, but, you know, apparently Steve Jobs wasn't a very nice man to work with. That's just, you know, the way it is. It takes
sometimes
someone to kick butt to get things done sometimes. Now, but is Steve Ballmer? It looks to me like he's sort of protecting his turf. So anyone that could come along and present a future challenge, he sort of gets rid of. They make a mistake, but he's the ultimate.
This sounds a little bit Colonel Gaddafi to me. This is, I mean, he must. You cannot stand alone in that situation. He must have allies. I mean, Steve Jobs, the thing is, Steve Ballmer is a businessman. First and foremost, he wants to make Microsoft successful. actually, I don't think he's got that creative genius that Steve Jobs had that will make Microsoft beautiful. But he's trying to. This is where he's just going, hang on a minute. How the hell are we going to do this? And now he's gone, right. Anybody who doesn't make Microsoft beautiful, bugger off now, because we're going to do something really lovely. And he's going to have to rely on other people to do that for him. And so far, hasn't gone well.
I can't pin Matrick on him, though, because Matrick left like 2 weeks after all the kerfuffle with the Xbox. And look me in my eye and tell me the guy who is the head of Xbox manages in less than 2 weeks to go and interview and give his notice at the current place and sign up at the new place because and fill out all the paperwork in two weeks.
They had history. Back in the day, Microsoft trying to get Zynga on board with their casual gaming stuff. So he knew those people in the past. And it's the same thing that happened with Stephen Sanofsky. After like Windows 8 came out and there was a big hoo-ha, oh, no one likes this, no one likes this at the time, he was asked to fall on his blade. The opinion seems to be, and he's gone. Same thing with Don Matrick. He had to issue that letter saying, we're sorry, we're going to do the 180 turn as it was become known.
Yeah.
And now he moves on as well. It just seems to me that unless Steve turned up the day after they'd done these things, he could have seen this stuff happening. He knew what was going to be announced, and he should have been in total control.
Which is disappointing. He's not, exactly, he's not taking responsibility for it, is he?
It seems to me that the only reason he's got that job is because he was the former college roommate of Bill Gates.
See, I think something different, though. I think that what happened was he did know, and when all the PR showed that that was a terrible idea, he went and found a scapegoat.
That's my point.
And so he's just playing survivor and voting all these other guys off the island.
That's my point. Yeah, that's sorry if I lost in translation, but that was the point I was trying to make. It just seems very unreasonable, and it's just sorry, Jeff.
Part of the problem, it's a big problem that they have, is that from the top down, Microsoft has instilled a philosophy of internal fighting and fighting between divisions in the company. So it's okay in that company to be part of one project and sabotage another project so that your project gets priority.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And when you have an adversarial system like that, holy crap, you're just setting yourself up for a big disaster. And when you have someone running the company who – I think Steve Ballmer really loves Microsoft. And I think he believes that his actions are in the company's best interest and that – and I don't think he would intentionally do something to sabotage the company. But he's a marketing guy. And he does marketing guy things. And I don't think he has a firm grasp on the whole technology thing that the company has going for them. Because Microsoft could be the company everyone loves. And yet it's a company that so many people say, well, I don't really like it, but I have to use their products.
Right. Necessary evil.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's got to be frustrating because, like, if you are somebody that works there and you want to do something, like, James was talking about wanting to be, like, Microsoft is not a company that makes pretty things. The thing is, what Microsoft is a company that what Microsoft does is make money. They don't have any other sort of agenda. Steve Jobs wanted to make beautiful things. HP, well, the money was a bonus because he was making beautiful things. The thing that I think sometimes it gets underrated about Steve Jobs is not that he was a pleasant fellow. We all know that that's not 100% the case. And it's not necessarily that he was like a killer electrical engineer. I mean, he wasn't soldering motherboards together and going, this is what the new iPod motherboard will look like. That never was really his jam. Mm-hmm. He was able to take a good look at a market and go, there are all these MP3 players out there. And using one is a pain in the ass. We could do better. And then made something better than what was out there currently. He did the same thing with tablets. They did the same thing with computers. The computer that I have is ugly. It's two pieces. It's beige. I've got this whole thing over here I have to have that's completely separate from the monitor. I want it to be better. And then
doesn't
build
even
something
have a webcam.
But he knew that people wanted it. like he knew he had a really good grasp of like this is something that people can use in their everyday lives. And like Jeff was saying, as I point at him on the screen, like Jeff was saying, he's a marketing guy. And if you look at the stuff that's been coming out of Microsoft in the last, at least the last couple of years, it's all been marketing driven decisions. If we don't let people play the games they already own, we will make more money because they will buy new games. If we make this phone do this thing that people don't like, but will make us more money, then obviously it's the right decision. And I feel like he's read customers exactly wrong so many times. And if they had somebody with some vision about consumers, they would be much better off than they are. And that's why I'm not excited about the fact that he sent out this giant memo that still says he's staying.
Broad question, right where we are now, which company is reading customers right? Because I don't think, with my hand on my heart, I cannot name one. Who's doing
it? It's a lesser of evils, isn't it? Because if you look at every single, especially with this NSA revelations recently, it's who you think is looking out for you. And the odds are that the honest truth is none of them, because they're all companies. They're all corporations. They all have to turn a profit one way or the other. And most of the time it's us who are that profit one way or another. So either we give them money or we give them our information, which they then use to turn into money. Getting back to the Microsoft point, I believe Bill Gates, when he was in charge, he was a man of vision. He did have a vision. He wanted to see a desktop computer on top of every table in the world. No, people laughed at him when he suggested that. But ever since he's gone off to his philanthropic, is that the word?
Yes.
thing. Which is about as far from profit-making as it gets. Yes. And I wonder why he went that way.
But it just seems that Steve Ballmer hasn't got what it takes to run that corporation. I used to be a huge Microsoft fan. Everything, you know, all the versions of the Windows that they bought out, I installed them, apart from Vista.
To be fair, Carl, you're still huge.
Thank you. Thank you. and I just think Microsoft could be turned around if they had someone who came in and just changed that top tier. And this the infighting that Jeff was talking about earlier, this reshuffle is meant to stop that. So if it's been indicative in their nature for so long, I wonder how, in reality, that infighting is going to just stop overnight, because it won't.
It's not going to stop.
No. Oh, well, that's another one that we're going to have to keep our eye on, because that's going to be interesting, I think, in the ongoing weeks. Now,
truly,
here's a terrible story, I think. A man, a British man, 24 years old, was arrested for making threats against a school in Tennessee. This was on Facebook. And he's now been sentenced to 2 years in prison. He joined a Facebook tribute page for a student that died in a car crash and started trolling. He insulted the student and posted a message saying he planned to steal his dad's gun, kill him, then kill as many other people he could before finally killing himself. Because of this, more than 3,000 students were kept away from the school and officials put it on an official lockdown. Now, see, Facebook, I always wonder if people know what they say on Facebook is taken, can be taken so, like, realistically, so to speak, because I've seen
people are idiots. So the answer is no.
I mean, this Adam Hills put it best when he said, "Don't be a dick."
Yes.
Essentially, what this is this is hopefully a good example of how, if you were a dick, bad things happen to you. And maybe Facebook should have it as a little thing saying, "Hey, don't be a dick. Click here and see that this guy got 28 months in prison."
Because it is ridiculous. Because I have seen people after various events in the world who have posted some of the most ridiculous things on their Facebook page. And it's one of the reasons I no longer use Facebook, because I just cannot stand to see who I thought were friends, who I thought were like normal people, just be either so bigoted or so racially disturbed that it shocks me. So I just refuse to look at it no more. And in some cases, talk to them anymore.
Fair play.
Also a good plan, yeah.
But, yeah, so I think Jeff's right. Absolutely. People just do not understand what they're saying is considered real in all aspects.
No, well, exactly. When you put that computer screen between yourself and the rest of the world, it's very easy for a lot of people to disconnect what they're doing with what the ramifications are. And people will say and do things that, well, I mean, if you look at comments that we get on articles at Mac Observer sometimes, well, any site,
yeah.
I know the things that people are saying in those comments. If they ran into me on the street, there's no way they would say these things. Mm-mm. And of course, it's because we've taken the screen away at that point, and now they know that they're accountable for their actions. And you get guys like this doink on Facebook that never took into consideration what the ramifications were of what he was saying. And now he gets a couple years to sit and think about it.
Do you think we should be teaching this stuff in school? I mean, because I haven't got kids.
Don't be a dick lessons.
Is this stuff taught in school, James? Because you've got children, aren't you?
Basically, at the moment, it's like they're one generation behind in that they're teaching internet safety to people who have probably been on the internet since, you know, they were
before
5 years old.
Before the teacher got on the internet.
Exactly. And know which chat rooms, know which rooms in Hotel Habbo to avoid and have these little, you know, pedo watch things. Oh. So you know, honestly, they're teaching stuff that kids are already learning about because of experience. I mean, regardless of how much parental involvement there is, the children are still going to be able to, A, bugger up their computers, which my daughter has managed to do already. I mean, that there is everything on it. There's parental control. I don't know how she's done it. But also be able to stumble into places where they shouldn't go. And they chat about it in the playground with their schoolmates. And it stops being the taboo. And it's this next stage, I think. I do think it's the next evolution that needs to be told. Well, there's a lot that the children need to be told about. One, don't be a dick. And two, what you put on the internet now will take you into your adulthood, not least when the NSA brings it up in a court case due to driving under the influence.
Well, I was about to say. Also, the fact that this guy was a Brit and it was like the Americans that tracked him down and sentenced him, basically. So it doesn't matter that you're even in a different country.
Well, I think the frustrating thing to me about this is that the school was on lockdown, even though this guy was in another country and there was an entire ocean between them.
They probably didn't know that at the time, though.
Maybe he had some really big guns.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't know, so I could see it in that case. But this is another sort of overreacting sort of thing. I live in Oregon, and the part I live in is civilized, but I'm not far from some very, very rural pieces of America. There aren't a lot of places that are really sparsely populated like most of Oregon and most of Washington. And so there's a lot of people that have guns and talk about guns, and it's not a big deal. And like when I was a kid in high school in 19, blah, 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 you know, like everybody I knew, they would go hunting on the weekends. I went to high school with kids who owned their own, you know, handgun or larger weapon of some sort. And it never was like the big deal then that it is now, I guess. And it's just another one of those things that I think has apparently evolved over time. Like anybody I knew who had one had to go to hunter's safety, and like their parents were really involved and it was locked up all the time. And I feel like the same thing needs to happen with the internet. Like when I first got on the internet, I remember people saying, because your email doesn't start on your computer and go straight to the other computer, there's hops in between. Mm-hmm. Anybody at any point who really wants to on any of those other machines can read that message. So don't say anything in an email that you wouldn't want on the front page of the newspaper. And that was the rule.
Oh.
That was the rule that I was taught. Now remember, 19, it was a long time ago. And so I've sort of always presumed that at some point, somebody who wasn't the person the email was addressed to could read it. You know, there might be something embarrassing, but nothing violent, nothing, you know, none of that stuff. I save it all for phone calls. Hi, NSA. So
it's a whole room for Kelly alone.
So I find it frustrating that that people don't stop and think before they do this kind of stuff. I can tell you with App Camp for Girls.
Whoa, just stop there for a second. Could you just say exactly what you just said again?
Which part?
About it surprises you. Does it really surprise you that people don't think?
Yes, because remember we talked about this earlier. I'm an optimist. This is one of those things I like to
bless
think.
You.
And
I mean,
like,
no, that's very patronizing, but
no, the people who don't think, I know who the people are that don't think. They're the people that I'm about to see at Fred Meyer buying groceries this afternoon who are wearing pajama pants and slippers out in public.
Hey, I said I wouldn't do it again.
So with App Camp for Girls, it's the same sort of thing. We got static for building something that excluded boys. And we've gotten all kinds of ridiculous comments from people who hated on us for what we were trying to do, which was expose girls to iOS programming because maybe they will think that engineering is a cool thing that they wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. And we're catching them at junior high before like the rest of the world has beaten all of the possibility out of them. And I don't find it surprising that people do it. I find it surprising that people don't go, wait, if I say I'm going to go blow the airport sky high, that there's going to be there's not a repercussion for having said that.
That's what Jeff's saying. Like they don't believe there is any repercussion because they don't. Right. I don't think fully understand what it is they are doing. They don't understand that there's a trial. It's just a name that they've maybe made up from somewhere.
Right.
And they're typing text.
So on the one hand, like if you say something under an anonymous ridiculous name on some website, like. I can see where maybe people would think that that would give them some form of anonymity, but by the same token, like if you're going to incite people to violence, you're going to say something horrible about somebody, like it's going to come back to you one way or another.
But the thing
if I said it to Jeff in person, Jeff has the option of going and calling, you know, the police or whoever and going, hey, Kelly really wants to go blow up whatever. And
Kelly, fertilizer track.
The NSA is listening. What you say that though, but people can be horrible to each other on the internet, and there is this whole almost helplessness of people who don't understand. Again, on the other side of the fence, not the people who are being dicks, but the people who are the victims of these things who have no recourse. Maybe that's what needs to be taught as well. Actually, if somebody is being horrible to you, don't get your dad to shout at them on a webcam because it only makes it worse. Yeah. Here is what you need to do. Here are the authorities you need to call. Take it seriously. And and what's most important is do not be made afraid by it, because these people, until they come round your house and start putting poo through your letterbox, don't exist. And there are much more local people who are likely to do that, who you probably know. Or just talking from experience.
It's absolutely the truth. And I think that's the thing that needs to be taught is not just not to do it. But if someone does it to you, you don't have to take it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's too depressing anyway.
Where did we come from that? Oh, that's right. High school landing man. Yes. Now don't threaten to blow up schools as well.
Getting back to the NSA.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Yep. Exactly. Just get that on a T-shirt. Don't be a dick.
You can. Penny Arcade sells one. It's called the.
They sell everything.
Wheaton's Law.
No, the meme is Wheaton's Law. Wheaton's Law is a thing, and Wheaton's Law is don't be a dick.
There you go.
Right. Well,
my wife used to have a massive crush on Will Wheaton. I think she probably still does, but just doesn't. Tell me, she probably.
Your
when I go to work,
excellent taste.
When I go to work, she probably just watches all the Will Wheaton TED talks.
Does she make you have a Will Wheaton haircut? Is that why it looks like that?
And he has a rainbow sweater.
He does.
She gets me to wear it at the weekend. Luckily, she doesn't listen to the show. Otherwise, you guys would be in a lot of trouble.
One of the co-founders of the Pirate Bay has decided that he's had enough of the NSA and various other people like looking in on what he does. So Peter Sunday, I think that's how you pronounce it, is going to create an app called Helm.is, which means secret in Swiss, apparently. It will be so secure that not even its creators will be able to read the messages that go back and forth. The initial funding, I think he's doing it on Kickstarter at the moment, and when I looked earlier on, it was already 128% funded, so I think he's going to have enough money to keep this going.
Dear Peter, shut up and take my money. Love Kelly.
It's going to be, like I say, at the moment it's donation, and when it's finally released, it's going to be charged for the services. It's going to be iOS and Android versions first up. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? NSA, now that all this NSA information has leaked out, people are going to look for ways to, who know how, are going to look for ways to encrypt their messages, which is going to make their job virtually impossible. They shouldn't abuse the system, and we wouldn't all be scrambling to find different ways to protect our secrecy, privacy, not secrecy, sorry.
This is how people work.
Well, it's true. So who would be interested in getting this app when it comes out?
Me.
You can't hold your hands up. That's not good. Everyone said yes, just to be clear.
I do indeed.
Yeah, so they only wanted $100,000, and they got, when I looked, $128,000. So I think they're on their way. So what's NSA going to do now?
They'll declare the app a munition, and then you won't be able to buy it without a government permit.
Well, here's the thing. So say they do start to – more and more of these encrypted systems do come out. Then what happens if your country, your powers that be in your country – because it always comes down to what America does. The rest of the world follows, it seems to me. Just say, okay, encryption's outlawed. That's it.
But then nobody will be able to buy anything on the internet.
Outlaws will encrypt.
You won't be able to buy anything either.
That'll be the no more credit cards. Because those are encrypted transactions.
Right. All right, personal communication encrypt. No personal communication allowed to be encrypted.
The minute they do that is the minute my entire drive goes full file vault.
My drive is already full file vault.
Just very quickly, is that to say that the key is not crackable even under extreme torture?
Well, apparently you don't need the key. The key's on your device, and only your device has that key. So as long as if they get hold of your phone, I guess they can intercept the messages, which is always going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
See, the brilliant thing about micro SD cards is if they come around your house, you can just eat it. And you can get 32
And then you
gig.
Need one of those Japanese toilets.
Yeah. They only wait for 3 days to keep you in a room.
Well, then would they be
so
able
I hear.
I would love to see them raking through. I mean, when my dad first got his first mobile phone, this is absolutely a true story, I said, and this is how you insert the microSD card. And it was one of those ones that clicks in, and you push it in, and it clicks back out again. And it clicked in, it didn't go in properly. And then I flicked it with my thumb, and it went thwing across the room, and we never saw it again.
Oh dear!
So that's
man,
you know,
NSA's good. They caught that card. They're not even in the same country, and they got that card.
I'd like to see them exactly. Well, my point is a fairly poor one, to be honest. To be honest with you, I think that it's only going to be people. Currently, it's only going to be people who want to be consciously secure who will be using this system. I wonder if, for example, radicalized Muslims will be taking up this kind of communication simply to avoid the real issue is if it is freely available on your Android phone just from the Play Store, not like it. I mean, I'm a tech geek, and even I have shirked at the idea of downloading bitcoins because it just seems a bit too complicated for my little brain. If this is really easy to do and becomes de facto, that's when the NSA need to get worried.
No, apparently they say this will be just like using any other messenger app. As long as the other person at the other end has got the same app, you know their address through Twitter or whatever, that creates the connection. They're not even saying they're going to open up the API because that will weaken the structure of the security.
They're not going to be allowed to sell that.
Well, why not? It's not doing anything illegal at the moment. It's just an encrypted, like you can encrypt your email with like PGP and...
There are countries, I mean, if you look at the terms and conditions of some software, there are some countries where it is banned some software is banned for use in those countries because that form of encryption is not allowed.
That's what I'm saying, but we don't live in one of those countries currently, and until they change that, exactly. This is what, you know, this is why it's all getting,
but
okay.
The day is young.
Tinfoil hat time, it's all getting a bit scary. And also, this doesn't bode well for this next story, which is Dropbox platform. So the CEO of Dropbox at the first DBX development conference in San Francisco has announced the Dropbox platform. And the idea of this is that you'll be able to sync your data between various devices and OSs as well.
Can I just very quickly, I just want to rewind very quickly, Carl, to that last story.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the NSA want to track your traffic, and they see some traffic that can't be de-encrypted, and they track it down to a device. Are they going to send a policeman round to the house to go, have you got an encrypted app on your device that cannot be de-encrypted? You'll be going, nope. Go on, have a go, see if you can find it. And they'll be going, oh, I don't know, use phone. You'd almost need the tech police to come round your house. And I'll just go to them, look, you're just being a doofus. You can't encrypt it because it was corrupted. No.
It's just corrupted data.
It's just corrupted data.
No, I think the right answer when they show up
I've got
up
a crap router.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Plausible deniability.
What's a smartphone?
What's a phone?
No. They come to your phone and go, ¿qué? No, hable inglés.
Hola.
So my philosophy is deny everything, make counter accusations, demand video proof.
It's exactly the same with so many things in life.
You're going to be presented with this video one day, Jeff.
Yes, I am.
And it's going to be shown in court, and you're going to be screwed.
And they'll say, and you remember right at the beginning of the show when you stood up right in front of the camera, Mr. Gamut, and I'll be, oh boy, howdy,
holding that holy book. So I swear that everything I say on this podcast.
Anyway, as I was saying, Dropbox has announced their platform as well. So this will allow developers to add, with just a few lines of code, the ability to pull files from Dropbox and to store them there on Dropbox as well. Companies already signed up for this include Shutterstock, PicMonkey, Asana, Yahoo Mail, Animoto, 1Password. I'm looking at you, Kelly.
I know you are.
CloudOn, FedEx, and Fargo. Now, but the thing is, if this NSA does start to scare people, seriously, are we going to trust these cloud computing systems?
Well, trust them with what? If you encrypt your data and then put your data in Dropbox and have a way to decrypt it on the other end,
then it's all encrypted.
But Dropbox they hold the keys, don't they? That was a thing that came out a few years ago.
There's also there's other sorts of encryption. What? I can encrypt a file. Like, let's use 1Password as an example. My 1Password file lives in Dropbox, but my 1Password file is encrypted. So if someone breaks through the Dropbox encryption and manages to get to my folder of stuff, first of all, they're going to be desperately bored. And second of all, if they do find my 1Password my 1Password file, then they have to break the encryption on that file separately from the Dropbox encryption. So just because you get into Dropbox doesn't necessarily mean that you get free and clear access to everybody's stuff. So if more people are going to do that sort of thing, like if I have some other sort of app that lets me create text files or something and they're encrypted when I upload them and then they're encrypted until I decrypt it on the other device, then even if they get through Dropbox, even if Dropbox hands over all the keys to everything, then they're still not going to be able to get into that data unless I give the okay somehow. So okay. I think that is another thing to consider. What are you trusting them with?
I mean, sorry, James.
No, you carry on.
I was going to say, like, if you know, like, 1Password, obviously you know intimately that it works like that. So there must be that encryption service going on somewhere. I assume it's going to be the companies, the sign-up companies doing that and not Dropbox itself, unless there's another API in that system somewhere. But you don't really want that because then Dropbox will have access to that key.
Right. The thing about the API that, from what I understand, and I am not a developer, I could be completely wrong, is that it's sort of a dumb service. It's just a file. It doesn't do anything about specific handling. It doesn't do anything special with an MP3 or anything like that. Like, it's just a file, and it will pass a file from one place to another place. So whether that file is encrypted or not, Dropbox isn't going to care.
Okay.
It's up to you to worry about getting into it.
2 points.
The bottom line is, if you have...
Go on, Jeff. Oh, sorry. Go on, Jeff.
Okay. Bottom line, if you have information that you're concerned about someone else getting at, whether it's another person, a government entity, it doesn't matter. Don't put it someplace where someone else could potentially get it. So if you want to make sure information stays very secure, you don't use a cloud service to store it at all.
You put it on a micro SD card and eat it.
And fling it across the room.
On a micro SD card? Yes. Yeah.
And my point,
lock it away where you have control over it. So not even like a safe deposit box at a bank. It needs to be someplace where you have total control.
Under the mattress.
My interpretation of this, I don't think, is that Dropbox is trying to do anything more than take that one extra stride ahead of all those other Dropbox-like companies that are out there. And what they're doing is they're trying to get into industry, to business. And if anybody should be worried about this, it's Amazon with their S3 thing. Because they could end up being the de facto storage location for shared content, just as Amazon is now. If you download or upload sort of stuff to any particular site, more than likely, because Amazon is so damn cheap, Dropbox is getting there. Didn't they say 175 million people use Dropbox at the moment? That's
something like that. It's crazy.
That's a buttload of people.
Yeah,
it is indeed. Let's see one more story, I think, and then we'll get on to the picks. There was an exploit found on the Android devices that gave you access to the master key. This was discovered last week, I think, or early in the week. But fortunately, Google has now issued a patch, and it has sent it out to the OEMs. Who? Oh, no. See, this is what I was going to ask you, James. Now, how quickly do you think they're going to push it out to the customers?
But point is, I went on my phone, my son's phone, my Android tablet, all of them vulnerable, and the clock is ticking. I'm going to be starting with the Google Nexus 7. It is a Google Nexus 7. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to check for an update, because I imagine it's going to come down as a software update, probably. So I'm just going to go down there now.
There is a company called Blue Box who initially found the flaw, and they've created an app where you can get from the Google Play Store. Oh, dear, your system's up to date, you're saying there. You can get from the Google Play Store, and it will search your system and see if you've got the vulnerability and if you've also downloaded any malicious apps in the meantime.
You say malicious apps. Let's not. This is bad. Two things. The first thing is, if you want to download stuff from the Amazon App Store, you have to be able to install non-Google Market software. And two, the Amazon App Store may well have unscannable apps. And so the whole thing is yes, you can get a sort of good, a reasonable sense of whether you're clear or not, or how much in trouble you possibly are. For example, my Nexus 7 is unpatched, vulnerable, and non-Google Market installs. It found no malicious apps, but I think my phone had two unscannable apps on there. What the hell am I going to do with those? Because it can't scan them, therefore they could be poxy. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm going to have to get myself an iPhone. Going to happen.
Okay, now this thing though, I mean this story, do you reckon this discovery will worry folks away from Android based just on its security? I mean, this flaw has been there since 1.6, apparently.
No, it won't. And that's because most people don't know, most people don't care. The people that listen to shows like this either already knew, or when they heard listening to us, they flipped out like, oh my God, how did I not know this? And they understand the ramifications because we have smart listeners. But the average person out there in the public, they have no idea. They don't even know their phone's running Android. Mm. They just know that they've got the Samsung phone or the HTC phone.
It gets email.
Yeah. And people will say, well, which iPhone do you have? Oh, I have the HTC. Oh, okay.
James, this is one thing I don't know about Android, unfortunately. When you get an update from the carrier or the phone manufacturer, is it highly visible that you've got an update, or is it something that you don't really see?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's not actually that dissimilar from an iOS update. So it sort of takes over your phone a little bit, installing the application, reboots it, and the new things come on. And often you can't tell a huge amount of difference, but it's obviously got the update on it. But it is totally, if it's an over-the-air update, which almost all of them have to are, it is totally reliant on the manufacturer of doing it. And I've got a dodgy Chinese knockoff Android phone. It's a Galaxy Note, pretending to be a Galaxy Note. And I'm never going to get it. It's never going to happen. My concern about the public in general is they're not going to know they've got it. And in fact, they're not going to know that there are vulnerabilities with it. And all it will take is for them to install an application and go, oh, that's crap, and uninstall it, and not realise that it's left a little vestige of itself which is not doing any good on their phones. But then again, you get that on a Windows PC anyway, so it's no different to what we had 10 years ago.
Yeah, but
Mike,
but it's we haven't got the means really to go to get viruses and stuff off your PC. There's a couple of ways. Firstly, you can do it the cheaty way, which is just put antivirus on and just strip out the code, and you can never be sure you've actually got rid of it all. Or you have to completely wipe your system and start again. I don't think you can't do that with phones, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Antivirus for phones. Can you believe what the performance it would do to the performance of a phone?
Go on, Kelly.
The concern I have about it is that in the US, I don't know how long it will take carriers. This is the problem we have with everything in the US. And this is the reason that I don't like to recommend Android to people unless they know what they're getting into, because there's two middlemen at this point. So there's the hardware manufacturer who can do whatever they want with the phone, and then there's the carrier who can do whatever they want with the phone. So in theory, this important update that people should really have could go out on Verizon right away, and on the Verizon flavor of these phones, and the AT&T flavor of these phones may not get it for a week, may not get it for a month, may not get it at all. You never know. And this is the reason that this is like an abject example of why I am nervous. I am still nervous about Android because it's up to the carrier and the hardware manufacturer to get in cahoots and get their story straight and get the poop in a group so that these updates happen for people. And it just doesn't happen reliably enough for me to be able to go, yeah, I want an Android phone. It's not going to be a dramatic difference.
Worse than that, Kelly, I mean, obviously you get the minus two sort of steps with Apple where you end up not being able to update your older iPhone 3GS because the operating system simply won't do it. But it's the support for Android, for older Android operating systems or older Android handsets diminishes so quickly. I will bet that a Samsung Galaxy S2 won't get it.
It's a crapshoot.
I bet you it won't do it.
It's totally a crapshoot. And it's
18 months.
This goes completely against what Google's original comments about Android or philosophy about Android was, which is that it would free users from the control that carriers have over their devices.
Right.
As it turns out, what Google created was a new system that gave carriers even more control over user devices.
Ultimate power. Yeah.
Yeah. In an itty bitty little living space.
So.
And they're just going, we didn't think of that.
So if your carrier hasn't pushed out this update to you, for God's sake, write to your carrier and say, where's my security update?
Because you certainly ain't going to be able to apply it yourself.
No.
Yeah, and the reason that these things always concern me is because, particularly in the – again, it's a U.S. problem. Aren't we adorable, our little Americans and our little wireless plans? But most people sign up for a contract and have that phone for 2 years. So if you buy a phone – and if somebody bought a phone 6 months ago and then their carrier has decided that this update isn't worth pushing to that phone, they still have to spend 18 months on that phone with that giant security hole on it until they can do something else. And these are the kind of things – this is the second half of the piece that concerns me is most people are chained to that phone for 2 years and can't do anything about it. And so after 18 months, if they go, it's not worth sending the update out to that phone, you're – out of luck.
I've got to imagine Google is going to try and put as much pressure on them as possible to push this because it's vitally important. And like, if anyone wants to check, you can go to Blue Box Security Scanner for Android on the Play Store, install it and run the scans and see if you're out of luck or not. Also, Kelly, I've made a note of poop in a group for a possible title show title. Right, I'm going to come to you guys for picks in a minute. So get them ready. This show and all the other shows on the network are brought to you courtesy of UK2.net. They really do supply all the bandwidth and all the services that keep this show running, even when Ewan's not here. Yes.
they're that good.
If you can show your support to us by supporting them and pop along to their website, go through our website at bridgetechnetwork.com, click the link to UK2.net, and you'll see all the services that they have on offer, wonderful prices. And if you want better prices, then go to our website again and click on the sponsors link where you'll find codes to enter to get various discounts on all the services that you can buy. A VPN one might be quite good at the moment, possibly, do you reckon? yes, so just pop along, and they really are wonderful people, and they keep us on the air, and check them out. It really does help us out. And we'll help you out as well with those savings. So, picks, everybody. Oh, look, suddenly some appear in the dock like while I was away. James, have you got a pick?
Sorry, I just had to restart the stream. I was going to say that Spreaker would be my pick because while we were on air, because we didn't have any kind of means by which we could broadcast, I knocked something up with my netbook and the feed from a mixer. And so we've been broadcasting, we've been struggling on Spreak, and we've had a few people listening.
Oh, okay.
However, my main pick is a kind of interesting one. I'm a big fan of geocaching, and that's been going on for quite a long while. And there are some places where, you know, you go to the most far-flung corner of the Earth, because the Earth does have corners, and you can still find a little Tupperware box with a bit of ragged paper and a bit of plastic in it, an old McDonald's toy or something. But the fun is in the finding it and the things you can see there. It's gone one stage further, and people who hate QR codes will not enjoy this very much. But if you go to I'm not suggesting you even try it. If you go to Munzee.com, I've had a go at it. Basically, you carry your phone around with you, and it tells you where you can find these little QR codes, little squares, and you scan it with your phone, and you get points. And the more points you get, you go up levels, and it's kind of a competition thing. And it's like another way you can take a trip or a tour around the place so you can see interesting landmarks. Although the only place I've so far been is Milton Keynes Shopping Centre, which is...
Wow.
I'm sure we can be beaten. Yes, suffice it to say, there aren't any in Luton at all. But it's an interesting concept, and I would suggest you try it at least, even if you don't sort of get hooked. So it's called Munzee.com.
Who's putting these little stickers out there?
The NSA.
This is the crazy thing. They are tracking your activities, and that's how you do it. Check into this location. Click. We know where you are now. We don't need no Google. And so the crazy thing is, the reason I discovered it was because I saw one of these little QR codes, and I scanned it, and I'm like, what the hell's Munzee?
And it downloaded a virus app to your phone.
And it downloaded it, and now my phone's blown up.
Perfect.
Shush. It's available for iPhone too, so it'll break that as well. Munzee.com. Have fun. Okay. Get out of the house.
Don't worry, James. The drone is on its way. Jeff, what have you got for us?
All right. So I have a stylus today that I like. And I'm always playing with new styluses. This one, it looks really nice. And since we're doing just audio, I'm holding it up to the camera so everyone can see.
It really works.
So this is the X-Doria. I think it's called X-Doria Stylus Pro.
That's what you and, put in the dock.
Yep, that's what it is. So it's like, I think it's $25. And for those of you playing at home that can't see, it has an aluminum shaft base with bamboo. And then an 8mm rubber type nib on it. So it looks nice. It balances nicely in your hand and it works well on your capacitive touch screen device, whether that's something from Apple or from any of the Android or Windows based things that you can pick up. And like I said, it looks nice. It feels nice in your hand and it's an all around nice little stylus. I'm enjoying playing with it.
Cool. Are you, is that because of your love of the comic show? Is that piqued your interest in drawing again?
My interest in drawing has been active for a long time. And so I'm always looking for new styluses to try out in the various drawing apps that I use.
You should talk to Paul Kirkow. He has so many styluses. He just carries a big wad of them around with him.
I'm actually on the hunt right now for a cool box to carry my styluses in because I have like two or three fistfuls of them now.
The box doesn't have to be that big, does it?
No, it doesn't have to be that big.
Enough to hold your SD card, your secret one in. Kelly, what's your pick?
Okay, so I'm going to put in a bonus pick and a pick. So my pick this week is App Camp for Girls because it's awesome and you guys should donate. And we're trying to do something about the fundamental lack of women in technology. And we're trying to make that better. And a lot of people have spilled a lot of pixels and a lot of ink about the tragedy of the lack of women in technology. And there has been much hand-wringing about what we can do. And here's the solution. This is a thing that you can do. You can help us build an organization where we take girls for a week and we don't turn them into mega iOS developers. We give them a basic app and they get to fill in all the rest of it. But we do make them open up Xcode. They do type into it. They do some storyboarding. And then at the end of the week, they pitch their fully functional app to a panel of women investors. And we've done a beta camp. We're going to do 1.0 camp in August, and it's going to be awesome. Beta camp was phenomenal. And it's really great to get the opportunity to show anybody, let alone girls, to show somebody something that they hadn't maybe considered before as an option. And so it's been really great to make that happen. And our initial goal was $50,000. We've reached that. We want to make a stretch goal of $100,000. And that ends on Monday. Bless you, Jeff.
Bless you.
Thank you. That ends Monday. And that's why I want to make sure that we get it in now, because I would really like to see if we can make it over that goal.
Good luck.
My bonus pick. Thank you. My bonus pick is my SodaStream. I got a SodaStream source.
It's the 70s.
Classic.
And no, I just like, I love it. And because I can get carbonated water out of it and I can throw a little lime juice in there and I've got like something to drink that doesn't rot my teeth. And you know, I can only drink so much iced tea in a day, let's be honest. And so, I think it's great. And, it's pretty inexpensive for what you get. So there you go.
Can you get SodaStream beer yet?
Not yet.
Damn.
I think it's the fermenting that makes that an issue. But you can get a lot
but
of different flavors.
You can put flat beer in it.
That's all we got in this country is flat beer. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You can get a lot of different flavors of stuff to put in it. And
Pep
I mostly
up your
just
ale.
I just mostly use lime juice in the carbonated water.
Nice.
And that's it.
SodaStream. I remember having one in the 70s when I was a kid. Oh, God, I'll just give my age away.
I think we've got one in the loft somewhere. Yeah. Well, but when you when your Panda Pops cost like 27 pence from Asda.
My pick
is that code.
My pick's a video on YouTube. It's the film I shot because a bit of self promotion. Here we go. of the British Tech Bash Spaceball Grand Prix. And if you go and see it, if you go and search YouTube for Claw0101, my stuff should come up. I'll put a link in with the show notes, so when they come out or go on the community, you'll see it. And it's basically us at the bash, or many of us at the bash, on space hoppers jumping around this garden and being ridiculous at it.
It's a wonderful video.
It's so funny. And poor old Don McCannister, you see him get an injury, the blessed man. Not good.
It is indeed a cool thingy, Carl.
It is indeed. Thank you. And so Ewan tells me he's already booked the hall for next year's bash, which now Jeff tells me is a week later. So about the 12th of July, I think, next year.
It is an absolutely wonderful venue. It's like having the biggest front room in the world with the most gorgeous back garden for your kids to play out in. It's brilliant. Really great fun.
It really was. And it was a fantastic fantastic event. And I loved meeting all the people that were there. And it wouldn't be possible without all the people that come and joined and made the day what it was. And it wouldn't be possible without UK2 because they support the site through the year. And it wouldn't be possible without TechSmith because they put in some funding for
Lovely services. To see Betsy as well.
Absolutely. And it was just wonderful. And if you find yourself with nothing to do next year, make sure you come and join us, even if you have to cross that thing known as the pond.
I'm working on it.
We can have an American-British tug.
Kelly and I are both working on it.
Because then we can have a US-UK Space Hopper Grand Prix.
Do you really think you stand a chance?
I see it. You bring it, you
really?
Big it up now.
It's on.
You big it up now. Just come bring it over.
No,
oh,
seriously.
Don't you worry.
Jeff and
can
from
bounce
the
on my big balls as well as anyone.
Jeff and I are from the West. Remember cowboys and bucking broncos and all that? Like, that's where we're from. My family came here on the Oregon Trail. Do you really think I'm a person's going to screw around when it comes to the space ball?
This is fighting talk. Yeah. You know that.
Bring it next year. We'll find out. Right.
What?
We'll take you down, Beyonce.
Yeah, okay. James,
could you have said that more camply?
James, where can we get hold of you, sir?
Go on, Jeff. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Right to the edge there.
That's why you are so loved by women and men. I'm on Twitter as that's the place I spend most of my time. Although I have been popping into the communities on Google Plus because that's where the action was, certainly over the time of the bash. SYZYGY on Twitter, and you'll find me somewhere on the British Tech communities in Google Plus as well. I will go there.
Excellent. And Jeff?
Okay, so you can find me at Mac Observer, so that's MacObserver.com. You can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamet. And you can find me on Apple Context Machine. We have communicators, right here, a bunch of other shows. And also go to FreshBrewedTales.com and check out the incredibly stupid things that I see happening in coffee shops.
How do you ever find any time to work? You're always on podcasts.
I have a TARDIS.
You sure you haven't got a twin? There's two of you.
I do, but he handles the entertainment side. We have a special channel you have to pay for online, ladies.
So that was the preview earlier on that we got, which we will never talk about ever again. And Kelly. Kelly's frozen.
I was going to say, Kelly is on the unofficial Apple weblog, and I saw a retweet by Stephen Fry of the unofficial Apple weblog, and I thought, that is the convergence of two of the finest things in the world.
That's very cool.
What Kelly does for a living, and Stephen Fry, who rocks.
Okay.
But she's also so, on Mac Bastards or something.
Yes.
Angry
you
Mac Bastards.
You tell them.
She's on Angry.
Kelly's on Angry Mac Bastards now. She replaced Peter Cohen, who was absolutely brilliant. And if anyone could fill Peter's shoes in a totally good way, that would be Kelly. So it's great to see her on that show. And then also go check out the App Camp for Girls website, because she's heavily involved in that, and it's an incredibly awesome cause, and we should all donate money to help girls get more excited about technology and coding, and please go give those people money.
Absolutely.
How is that for taking over for Kelly's plugs?
There you go. She'll be most proud, will she? Oh, she's back.
Oh, hey, yeah. Kelly.
Hi, guys.
You've done that 10, please.
You've done it. It's exactly the same voice as what Jeff does. That was fantastic.
Okay.
Did you want to add anything?
Did
you? Yep, I think we did. We've done.
What about you? You have to tell everyone where you are, Carl.
I was about to get to me. Yes, I'm on Twitter at Clausio101 or on Google Communities just as Carl Madden. Really do come and join us on there, because we have lots of fun talking about various things. We've got a lot of people joining. The Mac Show and the Big Show are the two biggest communities, but it's all fun. Every single show is its own community. Come and join us. It's fantastic. And if you join, you'll just make it better. So thank you. I hope I haven't, like, broken the chain of Ewan's stuff too much, you know, his command too much by doing this today. Hopefully you had fun. Hopefully I'll press record. So that's it. I'll be on the Mac Show again tomorrow. And until next week, cheerio.
Bye.